going on, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys podcast. I hope everybody's doing great. This is episode 186. Wow, it's a beautiful Monday morning, and I'm joined by my buddies, Tanner and Matt. What's up, gang?
What's
up? How's it going?
You know, we're just mobbing.
Yeah, mobbing with the boys.
We're just mobbing with the boys tonight. What's going on? How are you doing, Matt? I noticed you you've got yourself a little bit of a haircut situation and a beard shave situation.
I didn't recognize you. I thought you were a different guy.
I couldn't go from long shaggy hair and full beard. I did go down to just a mustache for about a week there. And that's just long hair and a mustache, just, you know, too much hockey guy stolen valor for me to rock that. So I had to just go all the way down on both hair and face.
Yeah. You're looking, please tell me that somebody took a picture of you with long hair and mustache.
I never had long hair and mustache. Got the buzz cut on the head and then the mustache.
Ooh. So you were rocking the buzz cut and the mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pulling it up now. Let me get that. Oh, I'm wearing a hat, so you don't quite get the full effect, but.
Oh shit, dude. You can kind of pull off the stash.
It kind of worked. That's the thing.
It works with the glasses too.
Yeah, and just like very angular. Like yeah,
dude. I'm getting Dave Ruff vibes watching you with the mustache and the glasses.
That's the thing. I felt like I was jacking his style, so I got to come up with my own sort of thing for it.
Maybe that's the case, but we'll see. Tanner, how are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Doing well, man. I've got a bone to pick. Uh-oh. Starting this episode off hot with a steam. And I did not go to bed last night until 4 a.m.
Why?
I could not fall asleep, dude. I decided once in my life. I used to be a huge nap boy. Took naps all the time. I decided to take myself a little nap on Sunday. And from 5 to 7... Not too long, but not short.
90 minutes. That's the most you can go.
Yeah, I soon realized that after about... So I played video games to about midnight, and I told myself I wanted to play video games yesterday, and so I was planning on getting off somewhere around midnight anyway, and I did, and I thought, okay, so it's time for bed. So I go upstairs, I get ready for bed, and it didn't happen. So I just laid in bed and did stuff on our spreadsheet. You know when you check the spreadsheet and see a bunch of shits filled in, you're like, ah, Logan must have been bored or couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Because I put a fuck ton of stuff in our grading spreadsheet or whatever. Mm-hmm. Did you go through it, Tanner?
Recently?
It's a trick question. I know you didn't. I looked.
Oh.
It's okay. But. It's okay. You fucking You're disappointing me already.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. I'm playing. What's in your Chick-fil-A cup? Is that just water?
Water, yeah. It's the same one that I've been bringing for a long...
That's like a three-week-old old cup.
Yeah. Dude,
that styro is going to give you cancer.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, it still tastes
Is good. That a thing?
I know it's at least with like plastic bottles.
Oh, yeah. It's like the classic Chick-fil-A styrofoam cup. I feel like, have you at least like run water through it?
The water I drink.
Oh God! Right. Oh man.
College guy thing.
Jordan in the background is making the ugliest face. He's like, "This is not the move." The longest I will go without washing a cup, a mug, is maybe a week and a half.
Yeah.
Like, and the only thing I'm drinking out of said mug is coffee. Like, I'll get up in the morning, drink the coffee. And then as soon as I'm done with the coffee, I'll put it next to the coffee maker for the next morning routine and it just recycle.
Yeah. This may sound like I'm just talking about not trying to jack Dave Ruff's bits, but I optimize my coffee in the morning, put some coconut oil in as a meal replacement for my breakfast. So if I don't clean that out the night of, it is disgusting. So gotta stay on a clean cup.
You're a clean cup boy.
It is kind of a pain in the ass to do since I got the whole Pelican tumbler situation. So it's a whole process.
I feel like a clean cup boy could go many ways.
I'm not searching it.
We're not going to expand on the clean cup, boys. Oh, boy. Before we get into our weekends and stuff, welcome back to the Binge Boys podcast, everybody. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. If this is your first time, the premise is each week my co-hosts and I will break down the hottest in TV and film, and here and there we'll touch some music, video games, and pop culture. First things first, do us and yourself a favor and follow us on Instagram at the Binge Boys Podcast. That's where you get our announcements, our top five lists, our reviews, and more. Next thing, go on iTunes and make sure you've left that five-star rating and review. It helps us out a lot and helps us grow the show. A few programming notes before we cover our weekends. Number one, the elephant not in the room, Mitch, has moved on to bigger and better things. He passed away last week. And he moved to What About Sports Heaven. He released episode two released today entitled Dude Bet. I was talking to Mitch the other day, and they intend fully on every episode starting with dude, comma, something.
I like that.
I hope when they do a NASCAR episode, we get a dude, where's my car?
You got to think a NASCAR episode has got to come down the line. And if they don't, we need Matt to get in there and just talk NASCAR.
I know nothing, so that'd be fun for me.
Oh, I
just
was
make a bunch of people really mad.
I was really, really praying that you were like deep down, just like hardcore NASCAR fan.
The thing I love about it are the starter jackets, the old NASCAR, like just, you know, nine cars on the back, like raise hell, praise Dale. I like saying that. That's fun.
Raise hell, praise Dale. There was a guy that worked at Holder at my old job, and his name was Dale. And every time I walked by, I'd be like, raise hell, praise Dale. And he just laughed because he's in his 50s. He knows what raise hell, praise Dale means. He's no dummy, and he's definitely a NASCAR dude. Shouts to Dale if he's listening to this. He's not. He probably doesn't know what a podcast is.
Damn, Dale.
Sorry, Dale. Just keep raising hail. So yeah, Mitch, is that dude? What about sports? Him and Austin are nurturing their baby. It's available everywhere except Apple at the moment because Apple is being quite difficult. They have a bug in their system right now that is prohibiting people to submitting their pods through Apple. You got to think that's a problem.
Big problem. This is golden age of pods. Get it figured out.
Yeah. Figured out, Apple. So we got, so it's everywhere. It's on Spotify if you want to check that out. They released an episode today, a fatty episode. They talked about sports betting. They talked about a heavyweight championship. And by heavyweight championship, I mean Godzilla versus Kong. And they talked about who they think is going to win that heavyweight championship. And yeah, they talked about some March Madness stuff as well. So go follow them. Go give them a chance to earn your business. And yeah, we appreciate it. The pod lineup for the week. We've got, obviously, you're listening to this on Tuesday. So this is this episode Tuesday. You have Dude, What About Sports, which released yesterday when you're listening to this. On Thursday, the run-through drops that me and Megan and Emily did. We tackled the hit movie The Sandlot.
Oh,
and that's coming out on Thursday, so be on the lookout for that. And on Friday, we got a really special episode of The Exchange. I was very lucky enough to be invited down to New Realm Brewing down in Atlanta by some of their leadership team. And we reviewed their new seltzer called Alpha Water. This is non-spawned. They did send me home with a case of seltzer. And I'm not biased. And I know, well, they might listen to this. Who knows? It's very good. And we had a really good conversation about seltzers and beer and kind of working in that industry. And it was a lot of fun. So shouts to them for having me down there. And that comes out on Friday. Yep. So
cool.
So yeah, guys. And then next week,
if it's a damn shame if any New Realm product finds its way north here, that'd just be a real tragedy.
It'd be a real damn shame if, exactly what Matt said. It would also be a damn shame if New Realm offered to to pay us to talk about their beer. It would be it'd just be such a horrible thing. Just such a horrible thing. So yeah, those are programming notes. Tanner, what'd you get into this weekend?
I was in Illinois.
Yes.
I saw on Saturday, I saw our Aunt Sherry, Aunt Shelley, Uncle Todd, Clay, Shelby, her new boyfriend, and your brother.
Wow.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. You guys went up for what reason again?
Tess was having a visit, my sister, to ICC, and I think that she's going to go there.
Oh, really? You're thinking that she's going to go?
Yep. We're just waiting on an offer.
Ah.
Yeah, so it should be coming soon, hopefully.
I was going to say, pretty premature of you guys to be like, yeah, I think she's going to go. No,
she's been working with her for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, so they already know it's going to be one thing or another. Like, so, yeah.
So you went up and you mobbed?
Oh, yeah. We mobbed every night.
Tanner, are you familiar with this terminology mob?
No,
like mobbing?
Really.
Yeah, I think you can assume.
Yeah,
I think you can assume.
I
think you can assume.
Yeah. I'd be mobbing.
You're mobbing with the boys?
I mobbed all the way here.
Did you mob all the way here?
I did mob here.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
What do you think mob means?
I was mobbing. Oh, no. I was mobbing on the way here. Just listening to my music and... Okay, never mind. I don't know what it means.
No. Mobbing... Matt, do you want to take this? What does it mean to mob? Verb.
It means to collect a large gathering and just kind of pop into a spot and just, you know, just mob.
Well, then I was not mobbing in
Matt,
my car.
Matt, you know the number one rule about giving a definition to something is you can't use the word in the definition.
No, that was the example sentence.
Oh, okay.
The example sentence.
Okay, example sentence. My example sentence would be like, dude, this weekend was a movie. Me and the boys were mobbing.
That's even less helpful than my sentence.
Do you know what it means when someone says, dude, last weekend was a movie?
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of like... I don't really know how to explain it.
I don't know.
Like,
nobody knows how to explain it.
It was mad real.
So, mobbing aside, do you have any plans this coming weekend? What you doing this weekend?
Saturday morning, we're getting up and going to Orange Beach for a week.
Orange Beach.
Orange Beach.
What state is that in?
Alabama.
Yeehaw.
Oh, boy. Stay away from your cousins.
That's you.
That is me. shouts to all the Alabama listeners, all four of them. Matt, what you got going on this weekend?
Weekend?
Well, first of all, how was your weekend? What'd you get into?
It was good, man. So I was gone last week, just on a little golf trip pivot with the lads. We were initially planning on going skiing, and then the whole country got hot, and the day we were going to be skiing for the first time at the place was going to be their last day of the season. So pivoted and left the skis and took the sticks and went to Lake of the Ozarks and played my second and third rounds of golf ever. So that was a bit of fun for everyone else, bit frustrating for me, but I had a good time. And then so I came back Tuesday. And then I met up with that same crew because they still kept the same week, but work was crappy for me. So I just went back to St. Louis to shouts to Joe. Got to hang out with got to mob again with the squad. We went into a park, played board games, you know, cool shit like that. And then, yeah, this upcoming weekend, it's Easter, baby. Going to the homestead with the parentals. My girlfriend's birthday's relatively soon, so we're doing a dinner for that, and then just, you know, good old Easter brunch. But yeah, man, should be a good time. Let's get the Logan rundown.
Yeah, dude. This weekend, dude, this is a big weekend for your boy. This is, first of all, number one, like you just mentioned, it's Easter Sunday, but also falling on Easter Sunday this year is your boy's 25th birthday.
Dang!
Boom.
Christ is risen. Am I right? Every time someone mentions Easter and my birthday in the same sentence, I'm like, yeah, dude, Christ is risen. That's what they're saying. So I'm thinking about, I think Friday evening, I'm already talking about it. So Friday evening this week, we are going to go, me and Catherine are going to attend church. And we're going to mob there with Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Saturday, she planned a little bit of a surprisement for me. I'm not sure entirely what's going on. I know that there's a two-part event. I know the first part is me and five of my closest dude friends are hitting up Top Golf for an hour or so. We're going to
mob at Top
Golf. Mob at Top Golf. How many times? Make a drinking game. How many times we say mob this episode, dude? And then Saturday night, she's got something planned that I have no idea. She's kept it a secret. I've heard people are saying that she's invited a slightly larger group of my close friends. So maybe we'll mob for maybe some drinking games back at the apartment. I don't know what she's got planned. We'll circle back to this next week.
Damn. But certainly mobbing is on the menu.
Oh, mobbing, I don't think it's out of the question at all. I think
sure.
I think all weekend we'll be mobbing. Easter Sunday, go over to the parentals, go over there with Catherine and Turner. Shouts to roommate Turner. He's coming as well. And we're just going to mob at mom and dad's and feast and drink and celebrate the Lord.
Love that.
Me. And sorry, no, I've already dug myself a hole. I'm not even going to acknowledge it now. This last weekend, I never can remember what I did the previous weekend. I never can. Spent some time before.
I hardly remember.
Spent some time with Catherine. Recorded that podcast at New Realm Brewing on Saturday. Kind of hung out and stayed low key on Sunday. And yeah, and That's about it.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. And yeah, dude, we're just mobbing. We just stay mobbing.
God,
mobbing with the news now.
I'm mobbing with the news now, man. Let's mob with some headlines. Number one, the director of Mrs. Doubtfire, Chris Columbus, confirms that there is a R-rated version of that movie out there, but he has no plans to release it. With in an article from CNN, they say that director Chris Columbus has confirmed that there is an existence of an R-rated version of the movie. Apparently, there are unused PG, PG-13, R, and NC-17 cuts of this movie because of so many times when they were filming the movie, Robin Williams would improvise something dirtier than the script allowed. And he did it so much. Apparently, damn. There's a whole fucking film about it.
Damn, I want to see that.
So there are apparently no plans on releasing the cut of this movie. I think this kind of was all spiraled up because of the popularity of the movement of the Zack Snyder's R-rated cut of Justice League. Fans are clamoring now. Well, I don't know if fans are clamoring. We're kindly asking for them to release the R-rated Doubtfire cut. So that's just a little piece of fun news that...
'Twas a fun mention.
That I just said. Moving on. Microsoft is rebranding Xbox Live to now known as Xbox Network. Xbox Network is the future of online Network. Play. I know, right? PlayStation Network. Nice, first Microsoft.
Yeah.
So the update from Xbox Live to Xbox Network is intended to distinguish the underlying service from Xbox Live Gold memberships. Yeah, that's the thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. At the time, Microsoft says that they, a few months ago, this was a rumor that back in August that Microsoft was going to rebrand their services and stuff. So Microsoft has now announced that playing online with friends and streaming content is no longer going to require an Xbox Live membership, which begs the question, what's the point of having a membership when, I mean... Whatever, but they've got their ducks in a row, I guess.
Interesting. So that's a step up from PlayStation.
I guess.
Interesting.
I guess. We'll have to see how other game companies respond to that. But
they'll respond by doing the exact same thing.
Hopefully. I mean, that'd be $60 a year. I could put something out somewhere else.
Anyways.
Yeah.
In another article from CNN, Dwayne The Rock Johnson revealed Black Adam's release date. In the height of the popularity of, like I just said, Zack Snyder's Justice League, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is one step closer to living his dream as being a superhero slash villain. The actor announced the other night that Black Adam is debuting in July of 2022. So next year, around this time, we are going to be watching Black Adam, July 29th, 2022.
Interesting.
In recent news, kind of piggybacking off of that, Pierce Brosnan was recently casted as Dr. Fate in that movie. He's essentially Dr. Strange of the DC universe, played by Pierce Brosnan, which also relates back to Mrs. Doubtfire, because Pierce Brosnan was the guy who played the boyfriend that he helped give the thing to at the restaurant.
Oh.
Played by that guy.
Interesting.
So so how about that connecting the headlines?
There we go.
Nice.
Next up, Disney shifted their schedule again.
God.
Due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So, I will now run through the new lineup of Disney release dates, I'll just run down the high. This article lists all of the major movies that Disney was releasing in the next year. We're not going to do that. I'm going to give the highlights, the ones that we've kind of covered here on the show. Number one, Cruella is debuting May 28th, 2021, 2 months from now. It will be playing both in theaters and on Disney Plus Premier Access. So you'll pay $30 if you would like to watch it.
Interesting.
Or you will go to the theaters. Number two, Luca, Pixar's next movie, debuting June 18th, 2021, only on Disney Plus, non-premiere access. Ooh. So this will stream for free, just like how Soul did Christmas. Yes. Black Widow will release July 9th, 2021 on both the theaters and Disney Plus premiere access. So you will pay $30 to see it.
Jeez.
I anticipate most people, I don't know, they might pay that $30, but I anticipate a lot of people rushing to the theaters to see that
I'm going to the theater.
You said July?
July 9th.
Okay.
A lot more of the country should be vaxxed by then, so I think.
Double-shotted.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting my first shot tomorrow morning.
Oh,
hey.
Good luck.
Hey,
yeah. Hopefully it doesn't make me grow a third arm.
Tell Bill's Chip, I say, what's up?
Jungle Cruise, starring The Rock and Emily Blunt, based off of the ride, Jungle Cruise. And in case of you guys are worried about Disney making a movie off of a ride, remember, Pirates of the Caribbean, one of Disney's most popular franchises, is based off of a ride.
Yep.
Haunted Mansion, one of their biggest, what the fucks was this?
Maybe one of their less so successful attempts at a franchise. But either way, Jungle Cruise comes out July 30th, 2021. And it says here that it is releasing in theaters only. No premiere access for this thing, I think. It doesn't specify.
I thought of another unpopular one. The Country Bears.
Free Guy, starring Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi, releasing August 13th, 2021 in theaters. Okay. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, now releasing in theaters September 3rd, 2021.
Okay.
So I assume if the pandemic is still an ongoing major threat, that they might add the premiere access option to that. But as of right now, it's just theaters.
Yeah, I bet that it's easier to say, okay, yeah, we'll just throw it on Disney Plus in addition to the theater than it is to just shift all the way to theater. Yeah.
Correct. Next up, The Eternals.
Ooh.
Marvel's The Eternals, which we still don't have a trailer for or anything. How do we not have a trailer for Shang-Chi yet? Maybe it'll debut with Black Widow. Maybe that's the strategy.
Probably.
There.
Yeah.
Either way, November 5th, 2021 in theaters. So, there you go.
Spider-Man staying the same?
I'm glad you asked, Tanner. Spider-Man No Way Home, release date December 17th, 2021 in theaters.
Sweet.
So
it's not too far.
That one, I don't care if there's an ongoing global pandemic. I have to see that in the theaters.
See that movie in the theaters.
Also, another popular one people are really looking forward to that next weekend, The King's Man, December 22nd, 2021. The prequel, I think, to The Kingsman.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, cool.
Never seen those Kingsman movies.
They're good.
Never seen them.
Big good.
Okay, big good. Love that. Death on the Nile, starring Gal Gadot, Armie Hammer, I can't say her name. Basically, another whodunit movie. I think directed by the guy who directed Knives Out. Another whodunit movie releases September 17th, 2021 in theaters. Doctor Strange 2 in the Multiverse of Madness releases March 25th, 2022 in theaters. Thor Love and Thunder May 6th, 2022 in theaters. Lightyear, the Buzz Lightyear prequel.
Really?
Did you know that was happening?
No.
Voiced by Chris Evans. June 17th, 2022. Black Panther 2, July 8th, 2022. All of these are in theaters. Indiana Jones 5, July 29th, 2022. Captain Marvel 2, November 11th, 2022. Avatar 2, December 16th, 2022. And then the rest are Star Wars Rogue Squadron, December 23rd, 2023. And then Avatar 3, 4, 5, and the rest.
3, 4, 5?
Yeah, they made 5 Avatar movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why?
So those are the new Disney lineup dates. Hopefully those are the last ones. I doubt it. For some reason, I doubt it. But yeah, I think that's the most solid dates. If anything, they might move some things to Disney Plus as an option. I think those are pretty solid dates.
Yeah.
Finally, today, Lucasfilm surprised us and dropped the cast list for the Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi series. It has a pretty great cast, man. Of course, Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan Kenobi. Of course, Hayden Christensen playing Darth Vader. Then we got people like Joel Edgerton, which is a really big actor. We've got people like, oh my God, where lost did it go? It phone went tweet. Away and phone glitched and that's awesome. Lost the article. Yes. there was one more actor that was real. Oh, Kumail Nanjiani.
What?
He is going to be in that movie as well. Or the show. I'm sorry.
I cannot wait.
Also the guy, O'Shea Jackson Jr., the guy who is Ice Cube's son. He is in this movie, and a couple others that are that I'm just
Wait,
working.
Who's son?
That's Ice Cube's son, right there. He looks like him. You can tell.
Yeah.
He looks just like him. He played him in Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton. Oh yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So that is the Kenobi cast. They said they're starting production like now. So,
you know what they said about that show, that we're going to see like flashbacks with Vader, and we're going to see Vader like going after Obi-Wan when he was in Tatooine.
Love to hear that.
To find him. Oh yeah, I can't do that.
Well, there you go. There's our headlines. And now we can move on. We got less of a loaded episode this week. So we wanted to do just a few things and more some banter situations. Next up, a trailer dropped over the weekend for The Suicide Squad, directed by James Gunn, and released by DC Comics. So, I'll just ask straight up, Matt.
So,
were you a fan of the original Suicide Squad? Did you see it?
Never saw it. Never really felt like I had a need to.
You know what? I can second that. You do not need to.
I've you know, with most of this DC stuff, as you probably know, I've been keeping it kind of at arm's distance. So I watched the trailer. Looks better. Looks, you know, more like sort of a unified vision. The other one kind of looked like it was slapped, like it was sort of created by committee, but this one seems like it has more of like a single person kind of making the calls in James Gunn.
Do you trust James Gunn in delivering a high quality team up movie?
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really have a proven track record with a multi-hero comedy focused movie, particularly using comic book characters.
Are you a hater of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies?
No, I was being facetious. I trust him to do it quite well.
Oh, okay, good. I was gonna say, shit, I didn't know that Matt was an anti-Guardians guy. However, no. I am anti-Guardians 2. I do not like
really?
The second one. It was all right.
I do not like Guardians 2.
Huh. I choose Guardians 1 over 2 usually if I want to watch one. Yeah.
But no one's choosing Guardians 2 over 1.
I do. I have to watch it when you go through and run back through the movies, but you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
Big Kurt Russell people will choose 2 over 1.
Yes. I am a Kurt Russell guy.
Yeah.
I just take Kurt Russell.
Dude, good in this movie.
You know what I just thought of? Speaking of superheroes and Kurt Russell, why don't we do a run through for Sky High?
Sky High.
Yeah, you guys can definitely do that. I can. I'm getting busy that night.
Well, cool. Tanner, do you have faith in this movie? Did you see the OG Suicide Squad?
I did. I liked it. I mean, I wanted Joker. That's all I wanted. That's the only reason I went and saw it. And I didn't get it really, but I think it looks pretty good. The shark is intriguing.
King Shark.
Terrifying.
Voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Harley Quinn looks about the same.
Yeah. It's going to be confusing to average moviegoers because it is a total reboot. They are essentially trashing the last movie
completely,
but keeping half of the same cast.
Yeah. Yep. Some of the cast is the same and half of it is completely different.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Was anyone recast? I couldn't quite tell.
Harley Quinn?
No, recasted, like, as in they swapped out another actress.
Smith playing Killshot, like, but there didn't look like there was another Killshot.
Yeah, they took out Will Smith, but I think Idris Elba is playing a different assassin character. I don't think he's playing Deadshot. I think he's playing, like, Killshot or... Or dead something, but he's not Deadshot, to my knowledge, I think. Because I'm pretty sure there was like a whole controversy about like, not controversy, but people were upset that they were replacing him. And he was like, no, I'm a different character. Something like that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I don't think anybody's being recasted. Any characters from the OG movie that they kept are the same actors.
Captain Boomerang.
That's still Jai Courtney. Harley Quinn, obviously, still Margot Robbie.
Angela Waller, Viola Davis.
She's still the girl. Colonel Rick Flagg, he's played by...
Joel Kinnaman,
yep.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Wish was Ric Flair instead.
Ooh! Woo!
Woo! Get the nature boy in the Suicide Squad.
It's got a nice, impressive cast. Like they brought in like Michael Rooker, they brought in Pete Davidson, they brought in Sylvester Stallone, obviously as the shark. However, I've heard from James Gunn, and I think just multiple articles that within the first third of the movie, there are a lot of deaths, a lot of funny and gruesome deaths. Like I'm pretty sure one of the taglines for the trailer is like, don't get attached because so many of the characters will die. Like,
yeah,
intentionally. And then the movie will obviously go into the third act with the Suicide Squad, which I anticipate being like King Shark, Idris Elba, Harley Quinn.
Yep.
And maybe a couple others.
You don't think Captain Boomerang's making it out of the Act Two alive?
No. I don't think so.
But Boomerangs, they're so tight.
Wait, did he? I'm trying to remember if he got killed in the first one.
I don't think so.
I think he might have.
Very forgettable movie, the first Suicide Squad.
Yeah, very forgettable.
The only thing that you can remember about the OG Suicide Squad is that there was a really cool, like, 5-minute prequel scene that showed, like,
Batman.
Joker driving his purple Lamborghini and
Batman.
And Joker's just mobbing with Harley in that car. And Batman like lands on top of the car.
Oh, that was so cool.
So that was cool, but other than that, like very forgettable movie, the OG Suicide Squad. This one's called The Suicide Squad. There's a difference.
Oh yeah.
If anything, I think
the average moviegoer.
Yeah.
If anything, I think this would be a fun movie to go back and rewatch for like the run through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to like I said the same thing to Jordan the other day about the OG Justice League. Just go back and rewatch the Justice League because so you can see the clear differences in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the OG Suicide Squad is another example of the studio interfered with David Ayer's vision, and it in return resulted in a shittier movie.
They gotta learn to stop doing that.
I'm really excited.
Me too.
I'm like amped. Like as soon as I saw King Shark, I was like,
me too.
Okay, they're doing it. This guy, that slow-mo shot where he's like ripping the guy in two.
God.
I was like, oh my God, come on, man. Yes. James Gunn, which is funny because this movie was almost born out of like a middle finger that he gave to Marvel when they fired him from Guardians 3. And he was like, screw you guys, I'm going to go do a DC movie. And then Marvel was like, no, come back. And
no.
And he was like, okay, but I'm still going to do this awesome DC movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, I made this deal. I'm honoring that. I'm literally getting the best of both worlds here.
Yeah, so. Going
to make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's one rich dude.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I don't have much more to say about it, really, unless you guys do. I think we're amped to see it.
Oh, yeah.
No, sure. I'm ready.
Intrigued. Intrigued more than anything.
Yes, I'm intrigued big time.
Yep. Ready to dive into this next topic since I out on EP1.
Considering that the villain of the movie is a giant starfish. That fun fact, that giant starfish, I don't know the name, but that's the first villain the Justice League ever fought in the comic books.
Really?
So I think its name is like Kaiju or something like that. Something weird.
Patrick Star?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Starro?
Maybe. Isn't that a Pokemon?
No.
Its name is Star-Lord.
That'd be great if it was Star-Lord. That'd be a big funny. And if it was voiced by Chris Pratt.
That'd be funny.
Here is Starro the Conqueror.
Starro the Conqueror. There you go. It was Starro.
That name stinks.
It does stink.
It does. Starro.
All right. Moving on to Fawz, as Austin called it. Fawz Episode 2.
Let's go.
This episode was entitled The Star-Spangled Man. Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. You weren't here last week for the first review of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, so I'll let you go first.
Sure.
What did you think of the initial episode, and then what did you think of this one?
So the initial episode was definitely, very strong. I think it did a really good job at sort of establishing where both of the title characters are kind of starting from. Falcon, he had had that tough decision to give the shield back to the government, but he thinks it's will allow him to help out his family and keep sort of them going. He's just down bad. He's just got a lot to go through and figure back out. So I think it was definitely interesting to see them like not like link in like the first episode. But I think it really did help sort of strengthen like the characterization and sort of lock in like what their arcs are going to be. And then to see them sort of bond over this common what the fuck moment of, new Captain America getting trotted out there. I think it's good, man. I'm really digging this show. I'll let you guys get some words in.
I'm curious if you guys pick up on this, and I might be, because I've heard a lot of commentary on this show. It's a little deeper than it meets the eye. There's a lot of like racial undertones going on.
Oh, it's not even undertones. Yeah.
You think so? Because I'm a dumbass. Well, maybe the second episode kind of hammers it in more, where I was like, oh, okay, so they're really going for this.
Yeah.
But the first episode, like the bank scene where he's trying to get a loan and he's like, oh, well, we can't give you a loan. And it was almost like a, why can't you give us a loan type situation? And
yeah.
And I thought, and some people were saying that was a race thing. And I was like, I don't see it. But then the scene where the cop was trying to intervene between Bucky and Sam arguing, I was like, oh shit, they're doing it.
Yeah, well, so that, and then like just the reason they were fighting, like there was a black super soldier and Bucky said like, oh, we couldn't I couldn't reveal that information or whatever. But yeah, like going back to the loan thing, yeah, you think they really couldn't give them a loan even though he was shown to have like a job and stuff that could pay it. Like,
yeah, that might be a little bit of a racist issue there.
Yep. Yeah. And I, sorry, did you have another comment?
No, go ahead.
Logan, I'm pretty sure you did, but Tanner, did you watch Watchmen?
That long movie. It was a movie, right?
The show from HBO.
No, not the show. Mm-mm.
Okay. You did, right, Logan?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Like, do you think that Foz has the same, what we're talking about, like racial themes, without Watchmen getting all the critical acclaim since it's released? I'm just curious. I think it's them like realizing that like that's somewhere that like superhero fans are kind of ready to like think about, like, you know, have the issue of race kind of like brought in kind of like a unique, like an interesting way. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm curious when this script got finished, like if they finished the script before the riots and the protests from last summer. Like, I'm curious when the script was written, like if it was intentionally like, hey, there's something going on in the world and we should address it with this show, or if it was always planned from the start, mm-hmm. which personally, I think I'm going to err on that side of things.
Yeah.
Because if you we could get deep here, yeah. but if you take a step back and think about what it means to be Captain America, like, yeah, the U.S. government has, I guess, every right to stick super serum in any Joe Blow, give them the shield and call them Captain America. And Sam struggling with being a black guy, like not sure if America's ready for a black icon, because Captain America essentially represents America. He's like right. America's cheerleader. He's almost like taking the form of the president, where the president is said to be America's cheerleader. Like that's what the Captain America is in the world of superheroes.
Right.
So Sam is, do you think that was part of his initial reason of giving back the shield? Like, I'm not ready for this. The world isn't ready for this. Or was it more of like, Steve wouldn't be proud of me, or I'm not good enough as Steve? Like, where are you at in that, Matt?
I think it's probably that, but like deep down. So like going sort of back to it, I think just showing the sort of tension between Falcon and Winter Soldier, I think what's going to eventually unify them is they both have somewhat strong feelings of guilt. I think like Sam knows the right thing to do was to take up the mantle of being Captain America, but he didn't for those reasons that you said, like saying that, you know, he doesn't think the country's ready, but also like in his own life, like he wants to try and make things right with his sister and like his family. And it's just a lot of like other confirming factors. And so I think like he feels, because that just in going back to his guilt, I think is over like leaving his family to go off and be in the military and do his whole thing there. So I think that like the therapy scene in the interrogation room won't be the last time that they kind of have like pretty, you know, intense, like emotional conflict. It's kind of weird to like think of it like that. Like at the time it was like kind of funny, but then it got like pretty serious.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. When Bucky finally snapped and was like, I forget exactly what he said, but he said something along the way. Yeah. Like, why'd you give it away? Like, cause Bucky is almost thinking of it. Like if you really want to just slap, like smack the race button and say like, Bucky isn't thinking of it from Sam's point of view. Like Bucky just sees it as Sam thinking like, oh, I'm not good enough or whatever. Like he's not thinking about it from the way that Sam's probably thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I hadn't thought about like that in Sam's mind, like America is not ready for, he's just thinking about all the hate mail or whatever he'd get for being, you know, a black Captain America.
I really enjoyed the line of dialogue that was A, funny, but also B, like just playing into the whole theme of like when the little kid was like, Black Falcon. And he was like, what, are you black kid? And he was like, no. And he was like, well, I'm not Black Falcon or whatever. But then like in my mind was like, well, what about Black Panther?
Yeah.
But that's what Black Panther's called.
But that's what Black Panther's called. You're right.
Right.
But I thought that was a really cool angle.
Yeah. I think just given that all the discussion around race that's happening, I do think it is kind of, you know, gearing up the viewer for like the emotional climax where Sam like comes out and says like, you know, I'm not ready to be, you know, the black figurehead of America. Or maybe America's not, you know, I can't represent America because America doesn't have my interests in mind. Like, I can't get a loan. I get like the police like called on me when I'm just like, you know, having a loud argument with my friend in the street.
Yeah, it's really deep. Tanner, I want to switch away from race and ask you about John Walker. So you leave the first episode and he's on stage and he winks at the camera. And I think the goal of that wink is just like to get the viewer to be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you start immediately off the next episode with like him in the locker room. He's conflicted. He's like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't deserve this. Like, did this episode at all, besides the last scene that we saw him in, did it change your thought of like, oh, fuck this guy? Did you feel a little more for the guy?
At the beginning, yeah. They did a good job at making me feel a little more. I didn't know whose side to pick, really. Like, I didn't know to side with Bucky and Falcon or side with him. You know what I mean?
Because at the end of the day,
but when he showed up like that and like acted like he was like their team, I get it. I get that that's like, no, like, I don't want to, like, those two don't want to fight with him, obviously, because he.
And it's also,
you know,
it's also deeper, too, because he. So Bucky hates him because Sam gave the shield up, and Sam hates him because he gave the shield up. So it's like they both hate Sam, but in return, hate John by default, because they could have grabbed any Joe Blow and made him Captain America, because it's made it known to us in the show that John's not he's not injected with the serum. He's just a dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I thought was weird.
And it showed when they fought. They got destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of it is like, I was wondering how they were going to tackle it, if they were going to use him more of like, you know, remember in the OG Captain America movie, for like the first half of the movie, he was just the guy that was like, make sure you do your part and donate to the troops, or make fight the Nazis or whatever. And I was wondering if they were going to just use him as like a propaganda piece. But the fact that they're sending him on literal missions is kind of insulting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Considering the OG Captain America sacrificed his life to save all of humanity.
Exactly.
And now like this twice. New guy is just riding in the back of a Humvee. Steve would have never rode in the Humvee. Steve would have ran.
Oh, yep. Hell yeah.
But
I miss Cap.
At the end of this episode, when we get that confrontation and he's like, then you need to back the hell out of my way.
That is such an empty threat to me. They'll kill him.
Yeah. And also, it just shows, like, I was talking with my girlfriend and I were watching together, and like she initially thought it's like, well, that's something like Steve would have said. I'm like, no, he wouldn't. He would have said, like, mm-hmm. okay, well, hopefully one of us wins or something like that. Like, he wouldn't have, like, been confrontational about it.
Yeah, totally.
Do you think this show ends in a way that presents John Walker as a villain character? Or do you think he's going to get got, or he's going to, there's going to be a vent and it's going to make him realize he doesn't deserve the shield? Like, we've seen the trailers. We've seen Sam with the shield.
Yeah.
Do we, or just popped into my head, did they film those intentionally to throw us off?
No, because they also showed us the other Captain America, didn't they? Well, no, but they showed the, no, they didn't. Okay, they showed the, or did they?
It's like in Infinity War. In the Infinity War trailer, they filmed that action scene that showed Hulk and Cap and everybody fighting together, but that was a fake scene. They shot that on purpose to throw us off. God, is there a chance that the show ends and neither of them has the shield, Bucky or Sam?
Will they have it with the full consent of the government? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not.
Yeah.
So we don't think John Walker is going to end up being a villain.
No,
I don't think he's going to be a villain. I think he might be kind of like just sort of a thorn in Foz's side for the rest of it. But maybe make one kind of sacrifice at the end to like save them and redeem himself a little bit.
That'd be nice.
So at the end of episode two, we haven't seen Sharon Carter yet.
Nope. We did see.
We see Zemo for a split second.
Yep.
What role does Zemo have in this show, Matt?
I feel like he's behind everything.
But I don't define think he's everything. Behind.
Yeah.
I don't know, God.
Like, do we think he has some sort of involvement with that clan of like flag smashers or whatever? But he's been in prison ever since Civil War. So this guy, like, what role could he possibly have?
I could see him having set something up to introduce this, you know, element of chaos, like basically find like a hidden map to Super Soldier Serum or something like that, not knowing the form that it would take, you know, nothing like quite like that cheesy, but definitely sort of something like something that would like come back and prove that he is useful to, that he could use to his advantage in the future. So something like that.
Tanner, what role does Sharon Carter play in this show? Cause Cap is presumably dead or just in the Avengers facility, just watching Jeopardy and playing bingo.
Well, where did we last see her?
Her?
Yeah, she's a fugitive, right?
Yes.
Or not anymore.
That's what Sam said, that the three of them were fugitives after the events of...
Civil War?
No, the one before, where they stole the shield. Winter Soldier.
Oh, yes, that's right. After Hydra got exposed.
Yep.
So, wow, we haven't seen her. Oh, we saw her in Civil War.
Yeah, she kissed Cap.
Because she kissed Cap, yeah.
Yes, yep.
But she didn't have a major role in Civil War. She was just there.
Her equipment back.
Remember? Oh, yeah. She did do that.
That's why she was a fugitive, I think. I think so. I don't know. When we see her next, I think she will. I don't know.
I have no idea. With Zemo kind of being like a Winter Soldier, Bucky kind of call, maybe Sam will be like, all right, I know who we need. And then they find Sharon sort of like in episode like 4 or 5, kind of gearing up for then. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's unanimously thus far we're enjoying the show.
Oh, it's definitely real good.
After this week, we're halfway done.
Don't say that.
Sad. Yeah.
It's weird, man, because I have one critique.
Uh-oh. Sure.
I have one thing bone to pick, and then we'll move on to the last segment. But I feel like the show is too hard trying to hammer it in that Sam and Bucky don't like each other.
Yeah, the dynamic felt a little bit forced.
It's almost like the whole like staring contest thing, and it's just like, okay, we get it. Like Bucky's an asshole, and Sam has a short temper. Like,
I thought
we
those
get
scenes
it.
Were kind of funny when they were sitting there
staring
at each other.
But at the same time, like every other scene, like they're about to jump out of a plane and Sam just jumps out without telling Bucky the plan at all. And I was like, really? Would that really happen?
Yeah. Like I definitely had that feeling. And I didn't know if it's just because I watched them back to back and I was just, you know, just running out of steam. Just on
I'm just
in general.
I'm just wondering, like, okay, stop forcing it down our throat. We get it that they don't like each other.
Yeah.
And even I think they even said it in this episode, like, why don't we just get this damn thing done so we never have to talk to each other again?
Yeah, they did.
I think it's what Sam said. Yeah. So, yeah, if in this episode, in episode 3, if they don't start becoming buds, yeah, it'll definitely start to sour on me a little bit.
Yeah. So I think something's got to happen that's going to have to bring them close together, but I just don't know what that is. Maybe Cap actually passes away. Like, we don't have confirmation that he's dead. We just know he's not around. We have no confirmation that Captain America is dead.
Nope. I thought at the very first thing, I forgot that was from Endgame when Steve is asking him, like, you know, how does it feel or whatever? And Sam says, like, oh, it feels like it doesn't belong to me. Or it feels like someone else's or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So... And I thought, just based on the trailers, that we were going to open the show with like Cap's funeral. Like, I just assumed that was going to be the deal.
I think you, me, everyone else who saw the, you know, sort of teaser image of Sam in a suit with the shield, it's like, oh, there's two things. This is one thing that this means.
Yeah, and then this is the death of Cap.
Yeah.
Do you think at any point, speaking of deaths, that we'll ever have a movie that acknowledges more? Well, actually, no, that's bullshit. That whole comment was going to be stupid. I was going to say, like, a funeral for Tony. But, like, we kind of got that.
No, we did.
We got that in Endgame.
We got that $10 billion shot of everyone who's interacted with the MCU.
Yeah.
Even the kid from Iron Man 3 that was in it for 30 minutes.
Unrecognizable, though.
Unrecognizable, but he's there. Okay. Fawz episode 2. We all give it a thumbs up.
Big time. Yeah. Can't wait for more.
All right.
At least one. Maybe even two.
Maybe even two thumbs up. Nobody's... We're out here just mobbing our thumbs. I don't know if that did not sound great.
Yeah.
Didn't sound great. So lastly, if you've been paying attention to me on social media lately, you can tell that I've been busy. I've been a busy boy.
You've been
a busy Benji.
I signed myself up for something that I didn't really quite realize how much attention it was going to get. I went on Instagram the other day and I was just like, I'm on a quest to listen to some of the greatest albums ever made. So please tell me some of the greatest albums ever made. And I'll listen to them and I'll rank them.
Playboi Carti. I'm just kidding.
I cannot.
No, I know.
So, shout out to Laura from Binging Batch fame. She has this criticism of adult couples that love going to Disney together. And this couple that she's friends with is starting a podcast called To Podcast and Beyond.
Oh, no.
Which is, no offense if they hear this, it's not great. It's not a great name, but now I'm intrigued to listen. She said, I need you to know that this girl I used to work with is starting a Disney pod with her husband, and I, in all caps, cannot.
If there's one thing I don't need, it's Disney adult takes.
Matt, you're not ready for my Disney adult takes. I'm one of those weirdos that would go to Disney World without children.
We are not the same. No. I like it fine. I feel like you are a fan of Disney. I would not consider you a Disney adult.
No, I am not a Disney adult. I have to hold my words. I know people that are Disney adults.
Same.
I'll tell you off mic. But anyway, so I embarked on this journey to listen to as many albums as I can. And I've listened to a few great ones so far. I just thought I'd update the group on the progress. So I started out with 2001 by Dr. Dre.
Ooh.
Dude, you are ready for the next episode.
True. Then I went on to If You're Reading This, It's Too Late by Drake. It was fine. I think I gave that one a 3 out of 5. The Carter 3, Lil Wayne, gave classic. That one a 4, I believe, or maybe even a 4.5.
You should have given it a milli.
Matt, I love but also hate these puns you're making. Man. Did you prepare these?
Ready for all the albums. That's why I wanted them in advance.
Oh man, Golden Hour, Kacey Musgraves. That was an outstanding sound. That was an outstanding album.
Yeah, no takes on this except you giving it not a 5 out of 5 is trash. This is like one album that's come out in the past 5 years that I've added into my rotation. I don't listen to new music anymore. It just doesn't happen except this album.
Well, I'm glad that I heard it because the whole time, and my ranking might be trash, but the whole time I was listening to it, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to rank this album.
Yeah.
And the same thing went with another album I did, The College Dropout for Kanye West. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to rank this. They're all very good.
Mm-hmm. Did you think that the old school style, like sort of a lot of sampling and sort of pitched up and down like beats?
Well, if anything, it just made me upset that Kanye isn't like he is anymore.
Yep.
And the same goes for some of these other like artists that I've listened to. Like, I was just upset that Kanye isn't what he is. I listened to 444 by Jay-Z, which was pretty decent. The only thing about that album, man, I feel like it just wasn't made for me.
Yeah. It was
pretty
personal, just about all the infidelity and stuff between him and Beyonce.
That and like there's a song that for like a good portion of it, he's just like saying the N-word over and over and over, like literal back to back to back to back. And I was like, I don't know if I should be listening to this. Fair. Like if I was rolling my window down driving and I pulled up at a stoplight and someone pulled up to me and heard me and saw what I looked like listening to this song, they'd be like, they would cancel me. I don't know. Good I just point. Didn't feel like it was for me.
Sure.
I listened to Number Ones and Some by Brooks and Dunn. You don't know who Brooks and Dunn are? Think about... I was going to make a horrible comparison. Think about like a country duo, but from like the early 2000s, late 90s.
Okay.
I feel like they were kind of the Florida Georgia Line of their era.
That's the comparison I was going to make, okay, but okay. I didn't want you to be like, Brooks and Dunn were not bro country, which is what Florida Georgia Line is often criticized of being.
Yeah, I think they were pre-bro country, probo, if you will.
Yeah. I'm loving these takes. Last night, I listened to Stankonia, okay, by Outkast. Yeah. How did I was last night years old when I found out that Miss Jackson was by Outkast.
Yep.
You've heard that, right? Sorry, Miss Jackson. That's freaking Outkast.
You're also from Atlanta.
I didn't know that.
Or you live in Atlanta, at least.
Fellow, I did appreciate all the Atlanta references. Spaghetti Junction. Have you drove on Spaghetti Junction? Don't. it's no man's land for sure. I thought that was okay. One thing I don't like about older albums is that older albums often incorporate skits and stuff. Skits and interludes and like
has anyone given you some old Eminem that you'll have to be going through?
Fellow binge boy Pearson gave me a lot of old rap, and I know that like even the Carter Three just had so many skits, and the College Dropout had like 7 or 8 skits.
Skips, yeah, if you will.
Skips is what I like to call
it. Yeah. Like, you're a rapper. You're not funny. Like,
exactly.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, let's go. Like, I don't need to hear a skit. Like, one of the skits will be called, like phone call skit. And it's just like a voicemail from, like, an ex-girlfriend. I'm like, why are we hearing this?
Yeah.
This morning, I re-listened to a modern classic, if you will, Beer Bongs and Bentleys by Post Malone. I love me some Post Malone. That's a 5 out of 5. Kacey Musgraves honestly deserves the 5 out of 5. There's just one song that I just thought didn't fit. Okay. I don't know.
The Mother.
Yeah. I don't know. If they would have yanked that song out, that would have been a 5 out of 5. But when I heard that one, I was like, I just feel like this doesn't belong here. I don't know.
Yeah. I just don't really notice it just because I think like, I don't know, the whole album's pretty like consistent in terms of like its sound. So I don't know. It didn't really stick out to me that one was, you know, only 90 seconds or whatever.
And then finally I wrapped up today at work by listening to Take Care by Drake.
Oh, so you just wanted to like cry at your desk.
Dude, when Marvin's Room came on, I just catch me not mobbing, catch me crying. some of the ones that I have coming up here, I'm currently in the middle of listening to Trap Music by T.I.
Okay.
Also suggested by Pearson. Most of the old rap was suggested by Pearson, like College Dropouts, the Outkast album, Carter 3. I know you suggested Carter 3 as well, Matt, I think, right? Maybe. Or did you not? Maybe. You suggested something by... No, I think you did Graduation by Kanye.
I definitely did My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
That's a good one. I can't wait to listen to that one.
All the lights.
So I've got that one coming up. I've got, let's see what we got here. Marshall Mathers LP by Eminem.
That's going to have some skits. Just be ready.
I'm ready for it. And then Good Kid and Mad City, Kendrick Lamar, Coloring Book, Chance the Rapper.
Yep.
Hannah Montana, the movie.
I saw that on your list. Who is that?
That was suggested by Creeps and Crimes friend of the pod, Morgan Mounts. Shouts to Creeps and Crimes. Good conspiracy theory / paranormal podcast.
You will cry during that Hannah Montana thing.
And yeah. Pink Friday, Nicki Minaj. Matt gave some really good suggestions, like 10 by Pearl Jam. I can't wait to dive into that one.
Yeah.
As well as The Who and Fleetwood Mac, Pink Floyd. I've got a really good list. I'm really excited, to be honest.
That is exciting. I'd like to do that.
And it's made me really active on Twitter lately, and we love Logan that's active on Twitter. Said no one ever. But yeah, that's my album quest so far. Maybe I'll give a little bit of an update to it each week and just say what albums I've listened to, and Matt can throw in some one-liners.
Sure. Yeah, you give me enough time, I'll bring the zingers.
Well, with that said, y'all, I think that's the end of this episode. I hope y'all enjoyed the little bit of banter we did at the beginning. I certainly did. I liked the back and forth conversation.
Yeah.
Lets the people get to know us a little better.
We were mobbing.
Look at the kid go.
Yeah.
Look at the character arc and development in Tanner Smith right now.
Nobody saw a podcast with the character development coming in hot.
Nobody saw Tanner dropping the mobbing thing at the end. Dude, we just been mobbing. When you get home to your parents, they're like, how was Logan's? You'd be like, Mom,
we mobbed
through that podcast.
It's good stuff. We're going to mob next week, too.
We are going to mob next week.
Actually, no, we're not. I'm going to mob at the beach.
Ah, you're going to be at the beach. It's going to be a solo epi.
Yeah.
It's gonna solo?
Be, it's gonna, or no, I mean, it's going to be a Matt and Logan show next week. Unless I snag a special guest or someone to help talk about Kong versus Godzilla. Matt, are you going to...
Oh, no, I'm going to see it with you.
Yeah, you're going to have to hold your takes.
What? Oh, damn it.
Or you can write your takes down on a note in your phone, and you can send it to me, and I'll read your takes.
Okay.
Tanner and I are attending an IMAX screening Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Very nice.
So, Matt, what are do you plan on seeing the movie, watching it on HBO Max? What's your deal there?
Yeah, I should be able to snag a view of it.
It's not overly long, which I would think by the trailers it would be. It's just under 2 hours, I think. Yeah. So that's a nice
be home early.
Bump of fresh air. Yeah, I think the movie said it starts at 7 and it will be out of there by like a little before 9 o'clock. So that's nice.
Beautiful.
Maybe right at 9 o'clock with trailers and stuff.
Yeah. Most likely.
But
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a big
fun.
Week. We're excited. We got some really good stuff coming.
Yeah.
This summer movie season's about to kick into full effect, and based on all those Disney dates, we're going to be busy over here at the Binge Boys.
Hell yes. We like busy.
We like the new releases. We've Matt joined at the height of the pandemic, really, and we haven't gotten to really talk about any new releases, so this is an excited time for us.
Yeah, man.
That is exciting.
So... here we go. Matt, I wish we could fist bump. Sorry about that, people. So anyway, like I said at the top, everybody, follow us on Instagram if you'd like to stay up to date with everything we've got going on. Binge Boys Podcast. Look out for the run-through this Thursday for The Sandlot. We got a lot of really good run-throughs planned. I've set
very
movies...
far ahead.
All the way through August. So we got some really good movies coming out on the run through. Matt, I'll have to show you the list. If you'd like to hop on any of those with me and Tanner, you're very much so welcome to. And yeah, everybody, I guess we'll see everybody next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
See you, everybody.
Ouch.